Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hot Sahaj Podcast. Today you have me, the messenger, the co-producer, to log in so that we can begin the show. Who do we have on the line today?
Nurse Carmen.
Christopher.
Bless you. All right. Brother Hodge should be out shortly.
Hey, Brother Hodge is on. You got a lot of feedback coming, messenger.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Me too.
God damn it, man.
Still alive?
Yes.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and hang on. Hey, how's everybody doing? This is Kenny Hodge. Going with Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio tonight. Yeah, had a little technical difficulty. We'll pick the messenger back up in a second. Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I'm good. I'm blessed and still highly favored.
Amen.
Yeah, I hate when we get off to a audio problem start. I thought we had all that kind of figured out, but apparently
am I still
don't.
Here? Excuse me, am I here?
Yes, you're still here. Yes.
Okay. The echo is
I can
gone.
Hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah, but your audio is still really crappy, Brother Messenger.
Really? Oh, wow. All
right, okay,
I'll go to the phone.
We'll go through it. Well, but anyway, again, we serve an awesome God, and we have an awesome God inside of us. So, again, his word, as the messenger constantly tells us, it is impossible for it to come back void. Can everybody hear me still?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So I'm getting all kind of crazy messages right now. But just the same, again, God is good, and his brother messenger always tells us, we count it all for the good. Anybody have any interesting or testimonious type verbiage they like to share with the audience this evening? So God has done nothing for nobody. And I'm the only one that God does something for. Come on, give. Well, I'll tell you what he's done for me. He has given me a steadfast mind, and allowed me to speak in some forums that I probably shouldn't even be addressing, but because I am fully aware of the God in me, when I walk through the valley of death, again, that verse has a new meaning. I do fear no evil, for I know that he that has all power, resides inside of me, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing with that concept, but it is a real concept, and I'm just learning to let it totally take over me, let it just engross me as a person, And therefore, again, I can truly say that when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will definitely fear no evil, for I know that he is with me.
Bless you, my brother. Am I sound better now?
You okay? Yeah,
yes.
You sound good now. Yes, sir. You got your audio back, bro.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah, we were just talking about just letting everybody know that every day I feel more and more blessed and favored. And I learned a long time ago that favor isn't fair, but actually it is fair if you would just do what it takes to get favor. And all it takes is to open up your eyes and understand that you have the same insight, the same ability, actually the same everything that the Father blessed his other son, Jesus, with. And when you begin to understand and grasp that, again, it's going to take you a couple of years maybe to let it sink in and marinate. But when you begin to grasp that, again, the sun just shines so much brighter wherever you are.
Amen. And with regards to that, when you say that favor, one of the things we have to understand, and it's something that we've spoke on numerous times now, we have got to change the way that we see things. We have this tendency to see everything through a lens of bad. And that's our number one mistake. It's not bad. We have to learn how to begin to count it all joy. And I say this now because, and I'm not an exception to that. It is a work in progress, but we've got to learn to start looking at things as good. We've got to learn how to count it all joy. We are so tuned in to making anything that we don't like bad. And we fail to see the good in it. Because if we stop for a moment and start looking at the things that we call bad, the things that we like to give credit to this devil to, if we stop and really look at them, there is something in it for us. And it's something powerful that will help us in the next go around. And if it's something that's going to help us in the next go around or the next task or thing that we choose to create, how can we call it bad? And so in this thing called favor, we all have favor because of who we are. We're just not recognizing the favor.
But you're
we're
still
not
that's one. To hear important instruction.
I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
That's right. And one of the things that we do, like, for instance, I'll give you an example how we're not looking at it. We look at it like, okay, we just got $50, but the guy across the street just got $200. So instead of us appreciating that $50 that we have, we look on that as a negative instead of understanding the positivity in it. And what we can do and it's just in our way of thinking. And we've got to realize that we have to, I'll give you an example. Jesus said one time, even if he don't do it, I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I know that he can. And this is what we've got to take to action to begin to understand that even if it doesn't happen right at this moment, it does not mean it's not going to happen. It does not mean that we have failed. Because one of the things we have to understand, and once we grasp this, we'll be able to apply it a little better. We cannot fail. And I know we look at some of the circumstances in life and say, I don't know about that, Brother Messenger, because things aren't going the way we want them. And what we have to understand is when things aren't going the way we want them, we've got to build up, we've got to go within and change it. And change it. And now, is it at this point in life, is it easy? No, it's not easy, but the more we work on it, the easier it will become. And so we've got a work to do within ourselves, because we have to understand this process of what is going on here. And this process that's going on is we have to come to the realization of who we really are. And it's hard for us to do that because we've been taught for so long that we're something else. And because we've been taught that we're something else, it's really hard for us to think anything other than that of ourselves. Even though in certain situations throughout our day, throughout our life, things have shown us that to tell us exactly who we are. And I say as an example, just think of some of the mighty feats that we have been able to achieve. And those feats that we achieve, do you think just anybody could have done that? Or do you think God just decided, quote unquote, to show favor on you at that particular time? Throughout all the universe, he stopped by and caught you at that particular time. Or was it the fact that right then and there you knew that only God could do it, and you did it? Only God could do it, and you did it. Our problem is God is sending us messages and sending us signals every day of our lives. We're just ignoring it because we don't believe it to be so. And because we don't believe it to be so, we pay it no attention. But let something go wrong, and what are the first thing we do? Oh, the devil this, the devil that. We give the devil all of this glory that doesn't exist, and the God that you are, you ignore it. And we've got to learn how to change our way of thinking. And until we change our way of thinking, all of this is just like babble. Because we have to learn, and when I say we, trust me, I am talking about myself as well. We have to learn how to put this into effect. Sometimes we feel guilty when we don't do certain things that they told us we needed to do. We are putting an extra burden, an extra strain on our own lives for no reason whatsoever, because of what someone else wanted and not what it is that we wanted. We are creators of our own life. And that is what our mission here on earth is, to be the God that we are. And what we have to understand is God, being God, knows everything and able to do everything. God knows how great he is. God knows all that he can do. But let me ask you this. Does it mean anything if you're not able to experience it? To know that you have $1 million, does that do you any good if you can't spend it?
Not at all.
And because of that, this is the God in us. So God wanted to be able to feel and know his magnificence. And in order for him to do that, he had to be in this dimension, because whether we want to accept it or not, as we get on and within ourselves, we'll begin to understand that there are other dimensions. And those other dimensions, and this is what is with regards to the Trinity and stuff to that nature. That's another dimension.
When you say that's another dimension, brother, what do you mean that's another dimension with the Trinity?
It's another level as far as, because see, right now what we are in, let me make sure I'm getting this right. What we're in is I believe it's duality. Dual. Yes, no, right, left. You understand what I'm saying? We're in the dual
right.
duality.
reality, that dimension. And then we have to get up the Trinity, and the Trinity is, and that's when, and see, they have all kind of different names for it. We say Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, mind, body, soul. That's the Trinity stage. And we're not in that stage yet, but we have to get to that stage. And as we get to that stage, we get better into the knowledge of who God is. Now, I know I've taken us on a giant leap here because we've been dealing a lot with the Bible and what the Bible says and stuff. But I want us to know that it's even deeper than the Bible. The Bible and its passages is just to give you a kind of an understanding. But because what we've done is we've taken it literally and we haven't been able to really apply ourselves, because using the Bible, it has held us back because it has taught us the wrong way. Now, mind you, you can't miss getting to where we're going. It's just that because we chose religion, we're going to go the long way when there was a much easier way. And one thing we have to understand, if you want to study Satanism, if that's such a thing, if you want to study that, guess what? You're still going to get to heaven. Well, not heaven per se, but you're still going back to from whence you came. So we're making a lot of this stuff hard. And our job here on Earth is to create the best, most wonderful life that we can for ourselves. And it may sound selfish, but once we understand it more, then it won't be as sounding as selfish as it may sound, if that makes sense to you. I got, did I lose you guys?
No, I'm still, you still got me. I'm still in there.
Okay. So you're with me? Okay, all right. So where we need to go is we've got to understand, first of all, who we are. The reason why I can say with such boldness that we are part of the body is because, for one, God even told us that. We are all members of the body.
Right.
And so, if we're all members of the body, what does that make us?
Part of God.
All right, because if each and every one of us was a member of the Knicks, what are we? We are the Knickerbockers, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Even,
mm-hmm.
Hey, even King James. All right? So, but so this is what we, this is the concept that we have to this is the concept we have to understand. It's right before us, but because of the way that we think about things and the way that we look at things, we can't accept it. Now, this isn't any new teaching or anything that I'm trying to relate to you. I'm just trying to get us to understand how backwards we've been thinking about this when it's right before our very eyes. Do we really think the God that created all of this is such a petty person that if you miss Sunday school or if you miss church service, you would just put a hash mark next to your name and you might not make it into the kingdom? Do you really think?
Some of us think that, yes.
Yes, and I understand, because we've been taught that.
That's right.
But the word also tells us, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But now that I'm of age, I have to think of it as I'm of age. I can't believe all that. You know, like, for how many years did we go, this is what they told us, that we was there was a Santa Claus. There was some that just couldn't take it. We found out there really wasn't a Santa Claus. But for how many years did we believe that it was one? I think a little, we didn't believe it. You know what, I understand the point that I'm getting at. There are
people to swear on that Santa Claus. Why? Because that is what has been taught to them. We're able to fool us with the Santa Claus. Why do we think it's so impossible that they're fooling us with a lot of this other stuff? This damnation and this vengeance. Just ask yourself, why would such a loving God pull this extra stuff on us? That technically, according to what we've been told, we can't pass. No matter what kind of quote-unquote test he gives us, we really can't pass that test because it says our best work is as filthy rags to him. Does that make sense for us to truly believe that?
Messenger, I'm having trouble again with the audio.
My audio again is starting to...
Breaking up. Yes, breaking up.
All right, my brother. I'm gonna go to the phones. I didn't want to do that. I kind of like my mic. Okay. Okay. I shall return. Yes, sir.
Nothing. Well, again, nothing. Nothing stops the word of God from going out. I hate that at this juncture in this series that we still have these issues, but we have them nonetheless. I'm sure that we'll get this also straightened out and be able to bring you quality audio again, because the message that we have is super important. And you know, we have to get it right so we can bring it to you correctly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we were talking about
the message.
Huh?
I liked you saying that. Nothing stops the message.
That's right.
Yeah, no, again, because again, if we don't tell it on this podcast, I'm certain that God's going to have somebody else tell it. And again, two
right.
People telling the story is better than one telling it. But you know,
and
I was talking.
If it takes a minute,
huh?
If it takes a minute to regroup, then we regroup and keep it on.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, anything else is not even an option. But as I was speaking with a young lady today, and I asked her a question. And that question was, how is it that you can believe that you are born into sin, but if I come to you with a different message telling you that you're not born into sin and you are born with the grace of God already in you, then it is impossible for you to believe that. Now, how is that? If I tell you you're born messed up, you buy that. But if I tell you you're not born messed up, that's hard for you to digest. Do you think that the Creator... Say again?
I'm assuming she's heard her message her whole life, and now you bring a new message. I'm not sure if somebody's going to flip the message, flip the belief that quickly.
Well, you know...
Yeah,
and that's true.
You're right.
And I've been on that old message for over 55 years. So you're right. It took me a couple of years to get to the point where I am now, where I can discern between what I believe and what God told me, as opposed to what some minister told me. But you're right. It took me years to get there.
The first time you heard the new message, so to speak, you didn't say, oh, yeah, that's the way it is. You know what I mean? Not the first time.
No, you're right. I didn't.
Well,
in fact, not even the first few
times.
This,
well, let me tell you this, though. The old message, I've heard the old message most of my life. But I even delivered the old message most of my life. But I must say to you, as I delivered that message, there was something inside of me that said it just wasn't right. And I never got the answer till later on in life, but there was something inside of me that just said it wasn't right. Now, believe me, I believed it. Even though I thought it wasn't right, I still went with the flow. And that's why when I began to hear a new word and it just touched my spirit, and I did begin to just zap on to it. Now, so because of the training throughout my earlier life, those were still there in me, and these are the habits and the thinking that I'm trying to break now. But once I heard it, the spirit, and it connected with my spirit immediately, and this is why I dove into it, because of the fact that it was something that was connecting.
Amen. Amen.
But we have those, but we do have those people that have the, because it's all that they know. But I mean, why would you think that we have the intelligence, the common sense, the discernment that we have? Why do you think we have that? Is that for naught, for us not to use it? Don't you think there was a reason why we were giving that ability?
Amen.
Yeah, the church is different.
Say again.
Church is different when you're coming up. I mean, you know, it's mysterious, and the older people, the elder people, telling you this way. I was raised Catholic. I thought you had to do good stuff to go to heaven. You know, be a good girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, that. I believed that probably 25 years.
That
you earned your way into heaven. You didn't go to heaven because you believed. You had to work your way there. Go ahead.
And if you didn't work your way, you could pay your way.
And that continues today. But you're right. And it just, I think all the mysteries of the church is what you hear, or if that's the right word, you know, from your childhood. So you don't question it out loud.
Right.
Then.
Right.
At that point.
You're correct.
Kool-Aid.
Hey, we've all drunk the Kool-Aid. We've all drunk the Kool-Aid. Now it's time for us to take the antidote to that Kool-Aid that we've been taking. Because if you think about this, as a Catholic, and the priest came to you with this message about how you had to do right, how you had to live a certain way in order for you to make it into heaven, right? They're telling you this, and they don't even believe it because they weren't living like that.
I didn't know that.
No, I understand. But now that you know, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
They weren't even So think about all of this stuff over the years that they were telling you that you had to do, and if you wanted to do or if you couldn't make it, don't worry about it, but send an extra couple $100 later on in the year, and we'll offer up some prayer. How can you offer up prayer to get me into heaven when technically you're not living right?
Right.
And we say it for the Catholic priests, but it goes through every single religion.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And the ones that are telling us, they don't believe it. So when are we going to wake up and understand if they don't believe it, it's got to be something else? The Catholics went after the boys, and the Baptists went after the girls. But they were all going after something other than what it is that, quote-unquote, they're telling us that God wanted.
Do as I say, not as I do.
that's their mentality, but how can you? How can you?
You can't.
That's correct. But here's the real kicker, though. You can't, but look at how many people are still following them.
Right.
Now, you mean to tell me that those people, and some of them are doctors and lawyers, great education, and they're still following behind it.
But, you know,
when
it's
do they wake up?
I think it's a personal choice, Brother Messenger. I can only share my feelings with them. I have to respect somebody's decision, you know?
Right.
Well, and I understand respecting someone's decision, but the question is asked, the question on the floor is, how long will you make such an unintelligent decision?
But
you can make the decision.
That's biased. That's unintelligent decision. That's unintelligent decision from your side of the table. Maybe it works for somebody else. Maybe they don't have
But here's what you have to understand. This is the point that you hit a very important point. It works for them. It only works for them because they choose it to be that way.
Okay.
This is the power that we possess. And as I said to you, you can go to Catholic service, Baptist service, you can go to any service you want all your life. And you're still making it in, quote unquote.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm with you.
But you can also not go to any of them, and guess what?
You're still getting in.
You can't lose at this. You can't lose. Well, I'm sorry, I'm gonna take it even further to tell you, no, this is what I know. I know it. I'm past believing. I know that you can't lose in this.
But the concept of you can't lose, that somebody have TV on something in the background. The concept of you can't lose is just so different. Vastly different from anything that you've ever been taught before. That you're right. It takes a while for that to settle in on you, because the concept
of family members. I'm sorry, Hutch. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you.
There we go.
I have family members who don't miss church, who say that if they don't, who believe that if they miss church or don't go to confession or whatever, you know, in the Catholic faith, that they won't go to heaven no matter how much they believe or how much good they do, so to speak. They are required to be present at church. I mean, they believe that, and who am I to tell them that their way is wrong and my way is right?
But my mother believes that, so I understand it. Yeah, my mother believes that. But one thing I'll say, growing up with this whole church nonsense, is that once I got to the point where I visited other churches, Catholic, etc. Then what I understood, for me, I was ready to switch from Baptist to Catholic the first time I went to a Catholic mass. And I say that because right off the bat, when we went to church, it was 8 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon event. And I mean, that was 6 or 7 days a week. Now what happens is I got a chance to go to a Catholic mass, and I'm talking, we are in and out in less than 40 minutes. Well, I'm telling you the truth. When I was young, I was about 11, 12 years old. I remember right then and there, I want to be Catholic, because something inside me told me there is no logical reason nobody needs to stay in church that long. I mean, I'm being very serious. But now, yeah, once the, yeah. I, at 11 years old, I could think that, but I wasn't trying to voice that to my mother and father. Because
mm-hmm.
they would have broke, well, I said, they'd have broke that verse out that says, spare the rod, not. and I wasn't trying to go through that, but I'll tell you, again, the first time I went to a Catholic mass, I mean, we in and out, and oh, wait a minute, it gets better. I didn't have to go and put my Sunday suit on. We wore the jeans
right.
and the shirt. I mean, and to me, that was mind-blowing. I looked in church and everybody got on jeans and regular shirts. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Am I in church with a bunch of poor people? Because, again, my upbringing told when you went to church, watch this, even though we weren't, like, rich or anything, we had school clothes, we had play clothes, and we had church clothes. And the three of those should never meet now.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, if it was picture day at school, you could wear your church clothes. But when you
right.
came home, you walked straight home. There was no playing of games on the way home because you knew you had those church clothes on. And you messed
That's
around
right.
and fall and scuff those church pants up. Not going to be good for you. Really.
We didn't
so,
have
again,
that.
Yeah, well, the first time I went to a Catholic service, I was like, you know what? This is what I want. And then again, before I went in the military, I hooked up with some Rastafarians, and I went to church with some Jamaicans. So I went from Baptist. I stayed Baptist because I couldn't go anywhere. That my mother and father was not trying to hear you're trying to apostle-like or change faith. That's not happening in my house. Free will, free will my backside. Not going on in my house. All right?
Oh, my God.
We ain't gonna be no. It's not you're not changing it. But again, now that as I get older and I'm able to make my own decisions, I look at that and I'm looking at years wasted. Well, I won't say wasted, years spent marking time, because even though it's a lot of nonsense to that whole organized religion concept, again, some of the tenets are very very powerful. And again, it would serve to
mm-hmm.
make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
it's called
that's how
spending
I look
time.
At it. Huh?
Yeah, and that's what you were doing. You were spending time.
Yes,
you're
not
spending
wasting time.
Time
spending
that you
time.
Couldn't get back. Yeah, you were
right.
spending time, and you can't get it back. And this is what we're doing now. And to the sister that says, how do I tell them those that have been doing it all their lives? What we have to do is let our light so shine that they may see the good work in you and glorify the Father. And if you live the life and show them that there is another way, that there is, and I'm not even going to say a better way, it's just an easier way. It's you living your life. We are letting life pass us by, as the brother said, because we're spending time being and doing what other people have told us what we need to do when we are God just as they are. Just as they are, just as the priest is, just as the ministers are, just as the imams are. We are that as well and more because they don't even realize the power that they possess. And they are so in tune with God that God gives them a message every Sunday or Friday night to give to the people. And what miracles and what fantastic things have you seen them do? Besides trick people into doing stuff that they want them to do. You've got these ministers on TV, and this is possible, but you have to remember, you've got ministers on TV that walking around now snapping their fingers and dropping people to their knees and stuff like that, and come to find out later on it was all an act. And there are members of the congregation that know it's an act, but still follow behind it because they want to be in the number. Who cares if the number is right or wrong? I want to be in that number. There was a minister that was on the TV the other day that said that God wanted him to get a $54 million jet.
$24 million.
$24 million jet. And he wants the people to pay it because he can't be discomfort or he can't be, he ain't got the time to be spending with like American Airlines, because he says that all an airplane is, American Airlines, is a tube full of devils. And so because of that, he need his very own plane, because he want to get up in the air, he want to go to where he's going without having to stop and refuel or anything to that nature. And he's telling us this is what God is telling him.
And you know, I've heard that minister speak before, and again, he is a very entertaining, Jesse Duplantis. In fact, he was a guitar player for one of either ZZ Top or AC/DC. So again, he comes from the whole performance genre. And again, there is no doubt in my mind that probably next month you're going to find that he got his $24 million to get his plane, because people are just that silly to understand that I'm going to chip in and get you something that nobody else in your congregation has. See, and again, this is where I go back to, you call yourself Christians, but tell me when Jesus had any kind of special mode of transportation, any kind. He walked, or sometime he came in the city on a donkey. Now, as you get in that private jet, that means you're going to leave. Again, you're going to be in a level of luxury that nobody else, except for about maybe four or five people, because again, when we talk about private jets are designed to hold probably more than 10 people, and that's a big private jet. It's about luxury. So again, $24 million, do you know the housing complex? Do you know how many homeless people we could house with $24 million? I mean, forever.
Mm-hmm. Here's something else to think about. They like to use that as an excuse. During Jesus' time, that there wasn't airplanes, there was just donkeys. That was the means of transportation. That's what they like to tell us, right?
Right.
Okay. But now, who's in charge of all of this? God is. And with God being in charge of all of this, didn't God give them the wisdom to make the airplanes? And if God thought Jesus needed to get over to Australia from Jerusalem, do you mean to tell me because at that time there were only donkeys that he couldn't get there because airplanes wasn't created yet? Is there anything too hard for God for them to automatically discredit Jesus' means of traveling because of the time that he lived in? So these stories and these excuses and stuff that they give us all in the name of God is what I'm trying to get us to understand, is we don't have to walk around here like we're dummies. Now, how many people, just from the little bit of information that was given here, how 100% accurate it is, I can't say, because I'm going from what I've heard, and I might have missed some of it. I don't think so, but I might have missed some, so I don't want to say it's without a doubt infallible what I said. But who, after hearing that, truly believes that that was what God commanded? Who believes that? Just from us here on this line right now. Who really believes that?
Not I.
Not I.
Okay, so that was two. You might believe that, Nurse Carmen?
Three. No, I don't believe it's three. I agree. Oh.
So are we to think that we, the three of us, are the only intelligent people in the world? And he's got a congregation of a couple thousand, a couple hundred thousand maybe. And just as the brother says, he's going to get that jet.
No doubt. He's going to get that jet.
He's going to get it. And if they want to get him a jet, trust me, I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with them trying to say this is what God said for them to do.
Right.
That's
well,
why I
because
have a problem with
I've got you. I've got you so brainwashed that I said, God don't talk to you. He talks to me and tells me what to tell you because he can't talk to you. So he told me to tell you. Now, I put it like this. If that was true, a word from God, I'm sure I would think that at some point when he started making that, somebody would have stood up and said, you know what, Brother Minister, I got that word from God too. Here's 5,000. Here's 100 million. I mean, here, you know, I mean, somebody else would have got that word.
Right.
But because no one didn't. And again, Brother Jesse, I mean, I ain't got nothing but love for you, man. If you can get that $24 million jet, go right ahead and get it. But you know what, though? And here's the kicker. Huh?
I just say if you want to, yes, he's going to get it. And I don't, and I'll say it again. I don't care if he gets it. I would have much more respect for the man if he said, you know, I want to do God's work over in Indonesia. But in order for me to do it, I need me a plane that's going to take me straight there. And I'd like for the church to fund their money to buy me a jet. I don't have a problem with that.
But you know what, though? But if he came at it with that, he would get some people to give him money. But anybody with any sense would probably say, Brother Minister, well, why you got to take yourself to Indonesia?
Right.
Is there not someone else can go there? Because for a $24 million jet, hey, Brother Pastor, how about if we take $80,000, not $24 million, and we put a missionary over there? Because that's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all of the disciples did.
That's right. I don't want to have to get you a $24 million. And here goes the really funny part about that. All those folks who are going to chip in and pay help him get that $24 million jet, because just as sure as I'm sitting here, he's going to get it. Because his homeboy Rob Parsley got one, Creflo Dollar got one, T.D. Jakes got one, and again, and I'm sure Joel Osteen got one. But, you know, all your big mega pastors got jets. And I want to tell them so bad, where in the Bible does it tell you got to be jetting around the world? If God is omnipresent, and I've got somebody else in these lands, I mean, don't get me wrong, why do you have to go there? Maybe you should take that $24 million and maybe buy an apartment complex and give away houses or homes to poor people or homeless people. No, not rent it to them. Give it to them.
This is where we miss the mark at again, because we are looking at things from the wrong perspective. Our job here is to love ye one another. Treat your brother, man, or sister, woman, as you would treat yourself.
But you know what? One thing I got to piggyback on is those folks who are going to pay that money, it's going to be so interesting when one time you might go to Brother Pastor and say, Brother Jesse, listen, man, I gave you about $10,000 on that $24 million jet. You think me and my family could use it this weekend to go somewhere?
I'm on my way to Australia.
Uh-huh. Here come the real God.
No, I'm on my way.
Or my jet just got arrested. That's going to be the answer, no.
No,
it's in the shop. It's being repaired.
Most of these pastors even live, and I don't knock anybody's lifestyle. They live in homes that a lot of their members wish they could live in. And if you get homeless, how many times do you hear pastors taking people in the house?
None.
You're not. I mean, again, so when they sit there and preach or push all this nonsense on you, some of it comes back to you, and you should be able to say, hey, but Pastor, how about me and the family coming over to your house tomorrow for dinner? Now, watch this. You know what's going to happen? Hey, why don't we just go to a restaurant? I'll pay. No, I want to go to your house, bro, Pastor. That's not happening. We have ministers inside of big ministries who are not even allowed to go to the head pastor's house. And again, I just think that's – I know we got off on a tangent. We got on a tangent with the mega pastor. But it's just that people, you have to understand, and you got to wake up and understand – if you want to help Jesse get a $24 million jet, then help him because you want to help him. But don't you dare help him because you think God told you to help him. And there's going to be people who will give their bill money to that man because the whole scam is once you when you deprive yourself of something, God's gonna give it back to you triple fold. Okay.
But think about the and that's what I meant when I'm talking about these lawyers and these doctors and stuff of that nature, the intelligence that they're supposed to have. Now, we have to understand, these people will give the money for, and I'm just using the jet as an example, for him to get that jet. But now if they walk down the street and see a brother or anyone that is in need of anything, they will walk right past them.
Right, because they already put their money in.
Right, because my money's going to the church. My money going to help them get a plane. I don't have time to give you money. Then all of a sudden, I'm not giving you money because you ain't going to do nothing but buy a drink with it. I'm not giving you money because you're not going to do anything but buy drugs with it. But I can give the preacher because all he going to do with it is buy him a jet.
Or even it doesn't matter what the guy on the street's going to do. I already gave my money to the church. Or to the pastor to get the jet. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
And my Bible tells me. Go ahead, sister.
Some of the people, though, in the church are just grasping at straws. I mean, I don't always think there's an evil behind that. I think they're just trying to get their path to heaven.
That's what it is. It's fear.
That's all
they've been scared to death. To feel that if they're not obedient to this God, then they're not going to get to heaven. So they do it out of fear. They will give you their very last out of fear, and then they want to look around and be mad at God because their lights are off when God already gave them the money to pay for it. But they let him fast talk them out of their money that God already gave you. But instead of getting mad at the pastor, they turn around and get mad at God. God provided you with this money so that you could pay all your bills. But instead, they told you you had to give 10% of it to the church. Now your bills are going unpaid, and you think that's the work of God?
That's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they know.
No, I'll give you a good example. I'll show you something just to show you how it's such buffoonery. When's the last time you think our president went to church?
Ooh, well, I don't know a sonic boom reported lately, so I'm just
kidding. And I'm not even going to stay on him. I'm just saying he hasn't been to church, but he looked like he's doing pretty good. Why is he doing pretty good? Because he is focusing on himself. He's creating the best life that he knows how for himself.
Of course.
A lot of other people are paying for that, but he's doing what he needs to do for his enjoyment.
For him, that's correct. Yeah. And he's enjoying life. And this is what it's about. We're so busy worried about the hereafter that we're not even enjoying the here.
Yeah. Because we're going to be in the after a whole lot longer than we're ever going to be in the here. So we spend this short period in the here preparing or trying to tap dance our way through so that we have a nice hereafter. I'm saying I'm going to enjoy my life right now, and because I understand that he that runs everything, his spirit runs me also, and then I'm going to celebrate when I get to the hereafter. But for right now, again, and this is one of the good things I like about the ministry, teaches you, again, live your life. Don't really care what that is. I don't care what that is. If that's how you feel you need to live your life, live it. But understand, I don't say good and bad anymore. There are consequences for the decisions you make. The choices we make will determine the life that we lead, that we live. So you have to understand. Go ahead, brother.
as we were stating earlier, and that's part, because of the realm of life that we're in, is the duplicity of life, duality of life that we're in right now, and that goes to the action and the reaction. Now, as we get higher into the spirit, then we go to the Trinity. Then we go to when we'll be able to just speak it, and it's so. We're in duality right now, and I've said this to so many people, we think that this life is a learning, we're here to learn stuff. I got to tell you, we're not here to learn anything. Because of who we are, we're just here to remember. If with God being in us, what is there that anybody can teach us? We just have to remember. How many times have we started a task or started doing something, and then just all of a sudden it just seemed like you was doing it all your life? Who went to bake a cake and didn't know exactly what it was that they were doing? Next thing they know, they had the best cake out there. It's just remembering. And a lot of times we'll settle for the I don't know instead of remembering. It's not to learn anything. Life is not a class. Life is to remember. It is for us to create the best life possible. That's what we're here for. And all of this other stuff is just part of some buffoonery to sidetrack you from being the best that you can be.
Hey, listen, audience.
Whatever it is that you decide to be.
Hey, listen, yes, audience, sir. We're at the three-minute mark. It's time for us to start saying our good evenings so we can bring our podcast to a close. Sister Purr.
Sam, this was a great show tonight. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Have a blessed day tomorrow.
Okay, Nurse Carmen.
You, my sister.
Yes, I enjoyed it tremendously, too. Thank you so much, and love you guys.
Go ahead, Brother Messenger.
I'd just like to say, first of all, I just want to say I apologize for the bad audio. I don't have an answer for it, but I will continue to work on it so that we can get it to where it really needs to be. But then sometimes, as I said, all things work together for the good, because sometimes I can get on here and I start feeling it and you guys don't get a chance to talk. So when my mic goes bad, maybe that's God's way of saying, okay, you guys speak up and let somebody else know. It's not just about me. It's about all of us, because we are all one. We are all one. There is no great eyes and little anyone. We are all one. I love you all, and until tomorrow, may God continue to guide us, and may we be obedient to his voice.
I'd like to say, as we get ready to shut down this evening, again, it is the magnificent works of the Creator that keep us all looking and moving forward. We want to try to, again, make this ministry a part of your everyday life, because again, as we start to tune into this ministry, we can be a beacon to draw people onto us. And again, our message is very clear. It's not that you have to do anything but what it is that you think you need to do. But I want to make everybody fully understand. We say that with such simplicity that you think, I can do whatever I want to do. Well, honestly, yes, you can. But the part I don't want you to lose is there are consequences for what you do. And you're going to pay those consequences while you still exist in this body before it goes back to the dust. But once amen, amen, amen is said over your body, and the Creator comes and takes his spirit back, that spirit will be with the Creator wherever the Creator may find himself. Let's have a wonderful evening, everyone. And we'll be back tomorrow, 11 o'clock, for part two of the podcast. Good night.
Okay. Good night, bro.
Good night.